The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Hi, it's Patrick Cox here with a pod about the very beginnings of American English, how British became American. And in the last few podcasts, I've taken you to a few spots in Britain, places of note when it comes to the evolution of English. The place of note today is another small village. This one in the east of England. It's become quite the destination for Americans, a shrine to the shared language. Here's my report. So just before we visit that village, let me play a clip from a Disney movie, Pocahontas.
What river is this?
Kuyukahanik.
You have the most unusual names here. Chickahominy, Kuyukahanik.
Now, in case you've forgotten your American history, Pocahontas is Native American, and the guy she's talking to is called...
John Smith.
John Smith was a leader of the first English settlement in America, at Jamestown, Virginia. He was born more than 3,000 miles away in Willoughby, Lincolnshire.
In the Baptistry Chapel, it's basically the life story of John Smith.
David Robinson is the former rector at St. Helena's Church in Willoughby. The church dates back to the 14th century, but there's been a lot of additions in the past few decades. Gifts from a variety of American organizations, stained glass windows, for example, and a plaque that Robinson reads out loud. It details the historical significance of John Smith and Jamestown.
1607, which began the expansion overseas of the English-speaking peoples.
John Smith was a man who wrote a lot of books about his adventures, which started long before he sailed to Jamestown. He fought as a mercenary across Europe, ending up captured in what is today Turkey.
He became a slave, and eventually he killed his slave master, nicked his clothes, nicked his horse, and rode back to England one way and another.
But it wasn't all breathless action. Smith was a great communicator, too.
He would have learned several languages along the way, going up into the Turks, going through France. So when he got to America, to him it was important to learn the local language, and that saved him several times, probably.
The word probably is a useful one when it comes to Smith. We can't verify much of what he wrote, and most historians find his memoirs unreliable. There is, for example, an episode in Turkey in which a girl saves Smith's life by pleading with his captor, just as Pocahontas did a few years later, all of which has given the likes of Disney a conveniently free hand.
This is how we say hello. Wingapo.
Wingapo.
And how we say goodbye. Anna.
I like hello better.
Whether it was through John Smith's flirtations with Pocahontas or other contacts between the settlers and the locals, words from each language were exchanged.
How long do you think it takes for a new variety of a language to evolve once somebody lands in a particular part of the world?
This is linguist David Crystal, co-author of a book about places of significance to the evolution of English.
And most people think, oh, it must take decades, maybe 100 years. It only takes a few weeks before the first signs of this new dialect of English starts to emerge in the letters that these mariners send home to their families. Words like skunk, you know, or wigwam, or moccasin.
Words are one thing, but what about accents? Surely settlers born in England wouldn't speak differently after just a few years in Jamestown.
It does take longer for a community accent to evolve, but not that long. Already in the 1620s and 30s, American settlers coming back to England were being commented on for their accent. You know, people were saying, you know, what a strange way of talking you've got. And so within a generation, enough had changed for it to be a noticeably different way of talking.
A few contemporary accounts tell us this, but of course, there are no audio recordings from that time, so we don't know for sure what English accents sounded like then and how American accents may have diverged from them. Sad to say, we don't get much help from the likes of Pocahontas 2. Yes, there's a sequel.
What do you think of my kingdom?
I think you must be a great king to have so many subjects, Your Majesty, and the loyalty of so many good men.
It's just accepted that in the brief time since she picked up English, Pocahontas has acquired a standard modern American accent. Hearing that, Pocahontas might be turning in her grave. John Smith might be smiling in his, given his predilection for a good story. Smith himself remains elusive. Even the most basic facts about him are unclear, like the day he was baptized. You'd expect his hometown church to have recorded that. And it has, says retired rector David Robinson. But things have become confused ever since those gifted memorials began showing up in the church.
If you look at the register, you look at the window, and you look at the plaque, that's three different actual dates when he was baptized.
A good reminder, if one were needed, that we can be certain of very little when it comes to John Smith and Pocahontas. What we can say is that Smith's arrival in America was a big moment for English. Not that anyone knew it then, but in jumping from a small island to a huge continent, English had gone global, or started to. It had begun reinventing itself with new words, phrases, and spellings. It repeated that trick in places like Australia, India, and Africa, creating not one, but many Englishes, and it's still doing it today. For The World, I'm Patrick Cox.
Okay, a couple of other things now related to that story. There are, of course, many renderings of the John Smith and Pocahontas story. I picked the two Disney movies because they're pretty much pure fiction, but they're also extremely popular and they're what a whole generation of kids learned from. At the other end of, what would you call it? The aesthetic spectrum. There's Terrence Malick's film, The New World. I really like that. Can't vouch for the accuracy. Jamestown isn't really my thing. But as an imagined depiction of two cultures encountering one another for the very first time, it's pretty impressive. It stayed with me. On the accuracy front, Laurie Gwen Shapiro, she wrote a fantastic piece recently for Slate about her childhood hero, Pocahontas, and how the myth is celebrated today. I'll post that at the usual place, PRI.org/language. And one other thing, linguist David Crystal, he gave me an example of someone who switched accents really fast, himself. Now, he was a child at the time, which I think makes all the difference, but it's fun listening to what he says about how quickly he dropped one accent for another.
It doesn't take long. I've moved from Wales to Liverpool, to the south of England, and each time, it only takes, well, especially if some of the local, I remember my visit to Liverpool, you see, where I had a strong Welsh accent, I was speaking like this all the time, very Welsh, and the Liverpool kid said, you stop talking like that, Taffy, you don't talk like that anymore, not I hear you don't, and I switched my accent within days. I didn't want to be beaten up by these other kids, so these are factors that will enable you to change your accent quite quickly.
David Crystal, I'm extremely grateful to him and his wife Hilary for giving up so much of their time, travelling in fact to London, to speak with me. Their book is called Wordsmiths and Warriors, The English Language Tourist's Guide to Britain. There's a link to it in a couple of different posts I've done this week. Our address again is PRI.org/language. The pod is also on Facebook. There's a World in Words page. And I'm on Twitter. My handle is Patricox, PATRICOX. I'm taking a day off, but I'll be back next week. In the meantime, check out all the other great podcasts in the Soundworks Network. I'll see you.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor. The World in Words is also supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.